Greetings once again, my white brothers and sisters of the world. Welcome to another episode of In Class and We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I'm very pleased to be with you as always as we commence this, the 12th week of programming. This has been a very successful show. We have received a number of calls, a number of emails, a number of letters from people who appreciate this show. Our numbers of listeners are increasing, or is increasing. I'm very happy to report this fact. This is a show that exalts in white racial loyalty. This is a show that is committed to spreading the white racial loyalist gospel around the world. In other words, we do not pay lip service or pay homage to any force that is detrimental to our white people. We do not bow or scrape before any value system that is hostile to the continued existence of white people upon the face of this planet. In today's world, we well recognize that there are many forces opposed to the continued existence of our people. And we have every bit as much right to assert our interests as a people as the other races have interest to, or the ability to assert their interests. We have every option under the Constitution of the United States and any other document or any other moral charter to protect and preserve and advance our own kind. The main item of news, or one of the items of news I need to report on this week's episode of In Class and We Trust, is our upcoming public meeting in York, Pennsylvania, this Saturday, January 12th. I very much hope that all of you who are in the Pennsylvania area or in New York or surrounding communities can attend this great meeting. It will be occurring at the Martin Library at 159 East Market Street in York. This is a meeting that the anti-racists out there are pledging to disrupt. This is a meeting that the anti-racist action group, as they call themselves, and the Barricada Collective, and other assorted strange names. I don't really exactly understand what this Barricada Collective is. But in any case, it's a meeting that these various miscreants are interested in stopping. They are, in fact, vowing that they will not allow, as they put it, us to meet in York, Pennsylvania. I want you, my brother or sister, to make sure that their vows are rendered naught. I want you, my brother and sister, to attend this meeting, to have the courage, of course, the conviction, the stamina, the fortitude, the honor to be at this most important meeting in York, Pennsylvania on Saturday. I look forward to this event as much as anyone could. I guarantee that I will do my job, and I need you to do yours and be there, my brother and sister. As you probably well know, as most of you well know, we will be having a lot of attendees. A lot of different organizations will have representatives present. We are very happy about this. The World Church of the Creator has always opened its doors to other individuals in the white racial loyalist movement. We are very much adamant, of course, that creativity is the best way. We believe very strongly that the World Church of the Creator is the best organization out there for white people. But at the same time, of course, we respect and appreciate the efforts of other individuals and other organizations, such as the National Alliance, such as the Ku Klux Klan, such as the Aryan Nation, such as the Hammerskin Nation, etc. If you are for the white race, we consider you an ally in that sense. Regardless of whatever your beliefs may be otherwise, if you believe in white people and you are taking constructive action to liberate their minds and hence their lives, eventually and ultimately, we are for you and we embrace you. As I like to say in a more personal way, I shake the hand of all white people who care about white people. That has been my policy, that is my commitment. This promises to be one of the great meetings that we have had, one of the greatest meetings that we have had. The two meetings that we had in Connecticut last year were very successful, and I predict this one will be on a similar vein, or in a similar vein. I predict further that we will have so many people there that it might be difficult to get into the meeting room. The meeting room holds 80 people. The police have informed me that they will be following that strictly. There will not be any standing room only or anything like this. So by all means, arrive at the meeting room as early as you can, the Martin Library as early as you can, and make sure that you are in that line to get in promptly. Another thing I want to talk about this week, in fact, this is going to take up much of the hour anyway, various questions that we have received over time. We have one of our members right now, we have several members, in fact, that handle questions that we receive, inquiries. I am particularly impressed with his responses to these inquiries, and so I'm going to basically read verbatim his responses to a couple emails that we have in front of us. Greetings, Mr. Barrett. Reverend Hale asked me to respond to you because of the volume of email and letters he receives on a daily basis. First, let me apologize for taking so long to get back to you. Things have been a little hectic lately. In response to your first question, Reverend Hale received his undergraduate degree in political science from Radley University and his law degree from Southern Illinois University. You asked how Jews and other minorities seek to undermine the status of white males in the United States. Before I respond, I'd like to address the issue of non-white people being called minorities. In the early part of this century, white people were approximately 33% of the world's population. However, after two fratricidal world wars in which mostly the white world was involved, and after decades of declining birth rates, abortion, and subsidization of non-whites, white people are now only about 8% of the world's population and shrinking very fast. Also, only 2% of the women of childbearing age are white, which means that in one generation we would be lucky to be 2% of the world's population. Those numbers are straight from the United Nations population data. This is a tragedy as far as we are concerned, and we feel that for everyone but white people to be called minorities is grossly misleading. This is just one more lie told by the controlled media. White people may be a temporary majority in America, but that will soon end. We are actually the true minority on planet Earth. But you asked how Jews and other non-whites undermine the status of white males in the U.S. First, I would say that they undermine the well-being and status of our people as a whole, not just white males. If white people are to survive, we will need exclusive territory so that our people may flourish, and the presence of large numbers of non-whites, many of whom are living at our expense, off our productivity and ingenuity, and hostile to our interests, is endangering the continued existence of white people as a whole. It is projected that by 2050 at the latest, and I believe much sooner, white people will no longer be a majority in America. And the same also holds true for all white nations around the world. If we are not careful, we will soon find ourselves without a homeland. Every other race of people has an exclusive homeland. Jews have Israel. Blacks have many African nations. Arabs have many nations. Asians have many exclusively Asian nations. But white people have no homeland any longer. I don't think anyone can claim that this is fair, and it will certainly result in our extinction if we don't take corrective action soon. Jews are different from most other non-white people in that they don't threaten us by their sheer numbers, but by their negative influence in the media and government. Check out this page here for the facts about Jewish media control and what that means for non-Jews due to the Jewish religious views of non-Jews. http://www.creator.org/facts!! You asked about race being a, quote, social construct, unquote, and that is hard for me personally to even discuss because I find it so preposterous. Every single biologist and scientist before the current politically correct era believed in race, including Darwin. And if you look around, your eyes, nose, and brain will tell you the same thing. There are actually many racial differences besides hair, texture, and skin color. Those are only a few visible differences, but there are many others. The facts webpage listed above will also address these differences. To me, that idea that race is a social construct is just as illogical as saying that breeds of dogs or birds don't really exist, but are a social construct. It's like saying that the only difference between a blue jay and a cardinal is the color of their feathers, or the only difference between a golden retriever and a German shepherd is the color of their fur. It's preposterous, and anyone who knows biology and zoology knows it's not true. It's hard for me to even talk about it with a straight face. Regarding the one drop idea, that is one which we do not necessarily subscribe to, because it is not that simple. Most so-called black inventors had some or much white blood in them, and we have never seen a full-blooded black African inventor. I have investigated this issue personally and found this to be true. However, we would not consider them white. They are hybrids or mongrels. The bottom line, as far as we are concerned, is if you look white, feel white, identify as white, and act white, then you are probably white and can join our church. Beyond that, we don't get into splitting hairs too much at this present time. People who are white know who they are, as does most everyone else. You asked whether your inquiry is representative of a larger societal interest in these areas, and I would say that it is. We have been very busy fielding inquiries, and I have seen a lot more people express interest in learning more about our church and our ideas. Many white people are starting to sense that something is very wrong with America. I myself was raised very liberal, and it took me years of reading and researching to come to the conclusions that I did. Many other white people are starting to question the current PC dogma and are probably wondering, like I used to, where are all the non-white nations that accept white immigrants and refugees and give us welfare, free housing, schooling, medical insurance, jobs, and citizenship at their expense? And if there aren't any, why not? If blacks are just as smart as white people, where are all the black philosophers, scientists, and inventors? And where is the African Space Agency, African Motor Car Company, African Oil Company, or African Software Company? How come the media is completely liberal and pro-race mixing, and when I look at the ownership and control of the mass media, it is almost totally owned and controlled by Jews? Why is this? Why is segregation and apartheid bad for America and South Africa, as the Jewish-controlled media told me, but good for the Jewish nation of Israel? Why was slavery in America a bad thing, but white sex slavery in Israel is widespread and not even illegal? Many white people are starting to wonder these things, and wondering leads them to look for answers from us and other so-called hate groups. The reality is we are called hate groups because the Jewish-controlled media hates what we have to say and won't debate us on the facts and issues because it knows we are right. You asked how I would convince a liberal Democrat such as yourself, and I can only say that I come from a Northeastern liberal Democratic family and was one myself. And I came to these conclusions by honestly researching the issues and not being afraid of what I found. The first thing I would like to ask you, or the first thing I would ask you, is ask yourself, if the Jews are such wonderful people as we've been told, and are just like us, but only a little smarter, a little more sensitive, and a little more chosen in the eyes of this God Yahweh they designed, then why is it legal in Israel for them to lure white Eastern European and Russian women with the promise of tutoring, waitressing, or dancing jobs, and then proceed to force them into prostitution, kidnap them, rape them, beat them, torture them, and essentially hold them as sex slaves in brothels, all at the blessing of the Jewish religion and Israeli law, under which it is totally legal? As one of the following articles states, in Israel, there is not a law against selling women. This information has been in the New York Times, countless other publications, and is well documented. Please take a look at these pages here. And it has a couple websites here. In fact, our website, various segments of those websites. Then ask yourself, what kind of people are the Jews? What exactly does their religion preach that allows them to do such things? And why are we subsidizing these people to the tunes of billions, or to the tune of billions of dollars a year, which they then use to murder Palestinian men, women, children, and babies, bulldoze their houses down, and then label them terrorists when they resist their own slaughter? If you are really a liberal and care at all for human rights, human decency, and truth and honesty, you will realize that what we say about Jews and their evil religion is absolutely true, and see that we have the documentation to prove it. I hope that I have answered your question satisfactorily, And if you have any more questions, please feel free to email me or Reverend Hale anytime. I'd also love to hear your opinion on the facts site and the white slavery information. Whatever your verdict on these issues, I wish you and your family all the best this holiday season. As you can tell from this conversation, not really conversation, but this reading to you of this email sent out by our brother Eric in Arizona, very good job, just an extremely good job at addressing this fellow's questions and doing so in a very positive manner. There's no need to browbeat people. There's no need to attack them. No need to insult them. If someone comes to us with a question about the church, we don't have to act surprised by that question so much as address it. Just let us address the question that this person has so that our creed can become all the more positive and understandable to them. The next email I would like to read is another one sent out by Brother Eric of Arizona, as I just mentioned. This email is very good as well. This is Brother Eric of the World Church of the Creator. Reverend Matt Hale asked me to write to you as he cannot personally answer every email due to the volume of inquiries we get. The purpose of our church is to ensure the survival, expansion, and advancement of the white race. Just 100 years ago, white people were a full 33% of the world's population. Now, we are only 8% and shrinking fast. If we do not take steps to ensure our people's survival, we will become extinct very soon. The World Church of the Creator is set up to ensure our people's existence for all time. The white race has never had a religion of its own until creativity. Christianity is a Jewish religion, which has served to make our people weak-minded by brainwashing us with suicidal advice such as, turn the other cheek and love your enemies. Any creature which loves its enemies will soon be destroyed. The Jews created Christianity, spread it to us, and taught us to love our enemies because they are our enemy, and they wanted to make us more passive and weak as they invaded and destroyed our homelands and our people from within. We don't subscribe to such silly advice, and we will not sit idly by and let our people perish. If you are white, are tired of being told that you cannot be proud of your race, and you want to work for the future of your people, then perhaps you will consider joining us. You can learn more about our church here, www.creator.org, especially under the FAQ section. And feel free to email me or Reverend Matt Hale anytime. Hope to hear from you soon. Sincerely, Brother Eric. Another job well done. Another good job from Brother Eric, once again evincing our strategy of persuading people, of talking to people, of taking the time to educate them and inform them, inspire them that our cause is indeed just. And finally, the third email. This one is a little longer than the preceding email. This person who wrote Brother Eric essentially had several specific questions, and I will read the question and Brother Eric's response. Aaron, thanks for writing to us and for your well thought out letter. My name is Brother Eric, and Reverend Hale asked me to write to you as he cannot personally answer every email due to the volume of inquiries we receive. Here's his question. How can you teach that white people are better than black people or Jewish or anyone else? Eric's answer, we preach that idea because it is true. When you look at the historical record, specifically who has invented the most technology and built the most advanced civilizations, you will see that the white race is ahead of the other races by leaps and bounds. Literally every piece of technology, from automobiles to computers, satellites, telephones, electric appliances, radio, and countless others, up to and including spaceships, were all invented by white men. The same is true for civilizations. Every advanced civilization has been built by white people, or in the case of some countries, on the ideas and technology we share with them. We preach that the white race is the most intelligent, inventive, and productive because it is true, and the historical record proves this. Question, why do organizations like yours make it sound as though white people are getting the shaft? White people are in no trouble, no more than anyone else. Answer. America was never meant to be a country for anyone but white people. It was founded by white people, for white people, period. Thomas Jefferson and the other founding fathers were very clear on this. White people are the only people in the world who let people of different races live in his countries, live in homes they didn't build, drive on roads they didn't build, work in companies they didn't found, and gives them free food, welfare, housing, and medical coverage, all at the white man's expense. There is no country on earth that will accept white immigrants at all. Never mind give us free housing, food, education, medical coverage at their expense, not one. Yet somehow white people are expected to bend over backwards, to give away to other races everything we and our ancestors have worked so hard for. No one else does this for us anywhere on earth. Question. When you tell your facts on your website, and the person put facts in quotes, I might add, that degrade other groups of people, why don't you tell the facts about white people as well, just to even the scale? Answer, like what? What have white people done that is bad except travel all over the earth, freely give technology and civilization to the inferior races? White people are, by far, the most warm, giving, generous people on the planet, so we don't see what's so bad about our people. Every group of people has bad individuals, but those individuals are much less prevalent in the white race as compared to the other races. Also, ask yourself this. If white people are so awful, mean, and racist as those who hate us claim, then why do all races of people want to live in our countries, our neighborhoods, go to our schools, work in our companies, and marry and have children with us? It's because they use those phony complaints to create a false feeling of guilt to keep us giving and giving and giving, because they are jealous and want what we have. They just don't want us to wake up to the fact that they are using us. Question. Why do you think that a person's race or religion determines their actions? It's obvious that you believe this because you make it sound as though black people commit crimes simply because they're black. Answer. Obviously, a person's actions are dependent on that particular individual, but the reality is some races, like the black race, are more naturally disposed to commit crimes and be unruly and disorderly. The fact is that black people are only 12% of the population in America, yet they commit 70% of all violent crimes. Also, of the approximately 1,700,000 interracial crimes of violence involving blacks and whites, 90% are committed by blacks against whites. These are not made-up numbers. They are directly from the FBI crime files. Check out this link to learn more about it, www.wcotc.com/hatecrimes/. Question, or actually a statement here from this fellow again. I myself am white, and it's pretty clear to me that white people are in no more danger than anyone else. We don't need advancement as white people. I think the whole human race needs to do a little advancing. Please respond. Answer. You believe that white people are in no danger because that is what the media and government want you to think. The media and government are both controlled by Jews behind the scenes. Jews hate us and have been waging war against us for thousands of years. This idea you have of the whole human race is not an accurate one. Charles Darwin, the man who first conceived the theory of evolution, did not even want to classify blacks and whites as the same species because we are so different. All humans are technically the same species, but we are actually different subspecies. We are created different by nature for a reason. Another way of looking at this is, a cardinal is a member of the bird family, but that does not mean that he lives with and mates with other kinds of birds. Cardinals stay with cardinals, and blue jays stay with blue jays. Similarly, humans were designed to live with and mate with only their own kind. This is nature's law. To assert that the only difference between cardinals and blue jays is the color of their feathers is preposterous, just as it is preposterous to claim that the only difference between the races is skin color. No serious anthropologist or biologist believes that, and the greatest of them all, Charles Darwin, certainly didn't believe that. I hope you will read our website to learn more about these issues, particularly the facts page that outlines the differences between the races, as well as the religious beliefs of the Jews and why they are a threat to us. It's right here, www.creator.org/facts! Perhaps when you get tired of being told that you cannot be proud of your race because you are white, and you decide you want to work for the future of your people, you will consider joining us. If you have any other questions, feel free to email me or Reverend Hale anytime. Sincerely, Brother Eric. Fine job. Fine job. I'm very pleased with his work. Very pleased that I was able to also use his work on this program, as he was notified that I would be doing so. I did omit his last name for his own purposes of privacy, but is very good to internalize these arguments, to internalize these responses to some of the questions out there. You'll get all kinds of questions, and in these emails, many questions are posed that you will see over and over again. The idea that, well, why can't we all just get along? The idea that, you know, we're all the same, we're all equal. Equality, as we said many times, is certainly you've heard me say that many times or this many times on this program, equality is one of the most asinine ideas in the history of this world. It cannot get much more asinine. It's like saying that all horses are equal or all dogs are equal, all birds are equal. There is no equality in nature, and that's just a simple, hard, cold fact. Now, some people, they don't like facts. A lot of people want simply wishful thinking, especially if it coincides with what they have been taught. If someone has been taught all their life that the races are equal, it's a bit hard for them to all of a sudden say, well, I think that it's not the case, because to do so implies a certain amount of courage and commitment to going against the grain. And most people simply go with the grain. And that really is our challenge as creators, as white racial loyalists, as believers in race, is urging people to go against the grain, or at least to say, hey, you know it, and I know it, that the races are not equal. Let's have the guts to admit it. It's hard, because, of course, anyone who says, dares to say that the races are not equal publicly is immediately branded all kinds of smear words. Well, one word that oftentimes the media might even consider a smear word, and many people would consider a smear word, is a word that we do not consider a smear word, and that is the word racist. A racist simply means that the person believes in race. If you are a nationalist, you believe in nation. If you are a, I don't know what other example I can use. A unionist, you believe in unions. A classist, I guess you would believe in social economic classes. Well, we are racist because we do believe very dearly in race. Race is the foundation of all civilization. Without race, you don't have civilization. And as Brother Eric pointed out in his responses to the individual's emails, civilization would not exist without white people. White people have accomplished so much more than the other races. In fact, white people have accomplished 99.9% of all that which is worthwhile in this world. Now, our foes will want to come back and say, well, what about peanut butter? So what? Out of the thousands, maybe millions of inventions of white people that have been bequeathed to the world, out of all these inventions, the blacks have one that they can actually call their own. That is not significant. That, in fact, demonstrates the accuracy of that which we speak, that white people are superior. Because if the blacks were truly equal, they wouldn't always point out the one invention that they actually accomplished. If they did, and I don't even know if they did, maybe Mr. Carver simply tripped on a peanut, stepped on it, and there you have peanut butter. I don't know exactly what happened with that. But in any case, the fact that they can only point out, most people can only point out one invention of the black race, speaks volumes in favor of white racial superiority. Because after all, otherwise you'd have all kinds of answers. Oh gosh, what have blacks accomplished? You'd have 100 different answers. Instead, you always have peanut butter. We never said, though, of course, we never said that every every single non-white, every single nigger is inferior intellectually to every single white man. We never said that. But on average, the reality holds true that white people are creative, white people are more intelligent, on average, by far, than the other races. Yes, you will have a black genius now and then, but they are about as rare as a penguin in the desert. You might find one now and then, but it's pretty rare. You might find a black scientist somewhere, but as Brother Eric also pointed out, you don't find a pure black scientist. You don't find a scientist, for example, in Africa, a black man, an African, a real African, full-blooded Negro in Africa doing anything. It's always a black man or a mongreled black man, mongrelized black man, within a white-dominated society that you will see any kind of accomplishment at all from this individual intellectually. Okay, we're on the second half, or at the second half, of In Closs and We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. The conclusion of the tape that we are producing of the show unexpectedly came to a halt, and so let me repeat a couple things here. You do not find, once again, you do not find in Africa a pure black individual that has accomplished anything intellectually without white domination. In other words, in their pure state in Africa, without anyone around them at all, blacks have accomplished little to nothing. Blacks lived in Africa for thousands of years without white people holding them down, without white people oppressing them in any manner, and accomplished nothing. They didn't invent a wheel, they didn't invent a written language, they didn't domesticate an animal, they didn't create farm equipment to farm. They carried baskets on their heads and lived as they had for thousands of years previously. And in fact, that's one of the things that most impressed me when I was 12 years old, or 11 years old actually, when I came to the conclusion that the races were not equal to one another, is my realization through study that you could take all three races and compare them 6,000 years ago, and maybe they would be in a similar vein or a similar situation. They might all be in caves, what have you. And yet, years ago, the white race was advancing, the other races were the same. 4,000 years ago, white people were advancing, the other races were the same. And that is the truest test of determining whether a race is, quote, equal, unquote, to our race. Of course, we well recognize that the other races are not our equals, but if the other races have not advanced, if they have not progressed at the same rate that white people have progressed, then they are, by definition, not equal to us. And once again, it bears noting that we cannot simply take a Negro from the jungles of Africa, put a suit on him, send him to Harvard, and then say, well, he's equal to us now. That was forced integration. Integration, in any sense, is forced in this country. Certainly this is not something where blacks, for example, invented their own boats and invaded America and came to our shores and mingled with us. Instead, blacks were brought as property to America by Jewish slave ship owners, essentially, and white captains were brought to this continent to serve as laborers, as beasts of the field, essentially, beasts of burden. And they served in that capacity. Whether they served well or not so well is another argument. But, of course, we well recognize that slavery is bad for white people. Far worse, in fact, for white people than the blacks. Under slavery, blacks were actually somewhat productive. Under slavery, at least they gave something back to the world, their labor. As it currently stands, many blacks are simply living off you and I. They're giving nothing back except maybe some crime and, killing us perhaps, if you can call that giving back to us. I don't think so. Rape, mayhem of all forms. But under slavery, it of course, or under the slave society, white people were put out of work. White people had their wages depressed, lowered, because the slave owners would simply sell cheap labor and people would buy the cheap labor rather than hire a white man to do the work. So really, when it comes right down to it, next time someone says to you, well, slavery was so bad for black people, we need to have affirmative action or some remedial program to address the wrongs of slavery, what you tell them is that as white people, we should get restitution for slavery. As white people, the regular, average Joe, white man and woman in society today, we are basically being punished again by virtue of having the blacks here, and we were punished in the past by having to compete with their cheap labor. This is an argument that most people have probably never thought of. Most people never think about the harm to white people that was caused by slavery. Well, obviously it harms us today by virtue of the fact that the blacks are here, but also harmed us in the past by depressing our wages, by putting white people out of work, and further, of course, by having the Civil War that caused the death of thousands, approximately 600,000, I believe, white people who lost their lives in that conflict. One thing I would note as well is that you don't often hear, in fact, I have never heard one single black activist, one single Negro, nigger, whatever you want to call him at all, ever say that he was thankful and owed gratitude to the white people who lost their lives supposedly to free their race. How many statues have been erected in America from blacks paying tribute to the white people who supposedly died to set them free? Never. Never have you seen it, and never will you see it, because the blacks are completely interested in taking what is rightfully ours. They have no gratitude in this country. They have no interest in simply being part of the American dream. They want to steal the American pie, not have a piece of it. When they talk about racial equality, for example, some of them might actually believe that their race is equal to ours, but most of them, they don't really care. They want more rights than you and I have. They want the power. As our founder Ben Clausen realized, as George Lincoln Rockwell realized, as many people have realized, if the other races are fighting for their interests, if the other races are aggressively pursuing their own interests, and white people do not pursue their own interests, white people are at a serious disadvantage. If white people sit by and allow the Mexicans to politically organize, to demand brown power, to join La Raza and promote La Raza, which means the race, incidentally, if white people sit by and allow blacks to advance their own kind while not trying to advance their own white kind, we will be second class, third class, fourth class citizens in our own land. It's as simple as that. These people out there that want to talk about, well, why can't we just all get along? Say that to the NAACP. Say that to La Raza. Say that to the Orientals. Say that especially to the Jews. Say it to the Jews who are right now shooting and killing Palestinians left and right, who declare most adamantly their right to exist as an independent, separate state, and yet at the same time they tell us that we have to integrate, that we have to race mix with the other races. What hypocrisy! Those out there who want to say that we should all just get along, say it to the NAACP. What does NAACP stand for, after all? National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It doesn't say National Association for the Advancement of People. They are not interested in advancing you and I. If you have a white skin, they are not interested in you except to the extent of whatever money you might put in their pockets. And that really is the key to understanding the whole notion of racial equality and why it is promoted so much in this society by blacks and by black interest groups such as the NAACP. These blacks know that if they were to give a speech, if the NAACP leader, Kwasi Mfumi, or whatever his name is, he chooses a nigger name, of course he was probably born John Smith or something like that, but in any case he has a nigger African name. I can't even pronounce his name. It's garbled. But in any case, the reason why he doesn't give a speech saying, hey, whitey, get out. White man, you're at the back of the bus now. Or white man, we consider the white man finished in America. Or we believe that black people are superior and we want more rights than white people. The reason why he doesn't say any of these things, even though he thinks them and wants them, is that he can get enough white clowns, enough white liberal clowns to open up their pocketbooks by saying instead, equal rights for all, justice for all, civil rights for all. We love everybody. Let's just break bread and have peace. See what I mean? It's all propaganda. It is all deliberately designed to continue the cash flow into their coffers. But in reality, the NAACP would like nothing more than to see every white man, woman, and child in this country cease to exist. If you don't believe me, look at the record. Look at the various black countries that have achieved rule over white minorities. Look at what is going on in Zimbabwe right now, or Rhodesia as it used to be called. Look at what is happening in South Africa, where the white people are afraid to even come out of their homes down there because of the vicious black gangs who are killing white people down there. Look at what happened in San Domingo in the late 18th century, early 19th century, in which white people were killed, man, woman, and children, to a man. There are no white people left. The blacks, the vicious animals that they are, set about killing those people. Look at what happens whenever niggers don't get their way in a jury trial. They go out and they riot in the streets, they pull white people from their cars, and they kill them. They try to kill them. So, for those out there who really believe this business about can't we all get along, go to the black doorsteps, go to the brown doorsteps, go to the Jewish doorsteps, and ask them that question. You'll get, of course, a $20 answer. You'll hear a long speech probably about how white people have oppressed the other races and how that's why the blacks have to scream no justice, no peace in the streets. Well, we haven't oppressed them at all. That's the simple fact of the matter. They had nothing in Africa. And even if white people, to a man or as a mass, did bring the blacks to America to enslave them, and most white people, once again, had nothing to do at all with slavery, even if they did, blacks gained from slavery. Blacks had far more and have far more in America than in Africa, either in the present or in the past. Black nations in Africa are spheres of savagery. Blacks will just kill each other left and right down there. Many of the blacks have AIDS in Africa now because it's believed, though not proven, that some blacks have sex with animals, with monkeys, and spread the AIDS virus into the human population. You have a savage Stone Age race in Africa. Where do black people have the highest standard of living in the world? That's an easy one. America. Where do they have the second highest standard of living in the 1980s and early 90s? South Africa, the place where black people were supposedly so oppressed, so held down, so mistreated, and yet they ate, they had food, they had education, they had schools, they had prosperity compared to their fellow tribesmen. So, suffice it to say, and in conclusion, the black race owes us. They owe us for the hundreds of years of criminal activity in America. They owe us for making our schools into jungles and essentially dumbing down our educational system. They owe us for raping all the white women that they have actually partaken in, all the white women who have been raped by these savages, who were permanently scarred by these animals. They owe us for that. They owe those women for their crimes. They owe white people for making this country a cultureless country. Our culture has been ripped asunder. How many white people right now are interested in reading a classic? How many white people listen to classical music? Now, I know that probably a lot of you don't listen to classical music, but let us face the fact that classical music is the highest art form in the music realm for white people. One of the reasons why I love classical music so much, and I play the violin, in fact, is that it is distinctly and uniquely and without question a white cultural form. There is no nigger in the woodpile in classical music. There isn't any gook composers out there. There isn't any nigger composers out there worth their salt. There's a Jew here and there. There's a couple Jews, but even the two Jews I can think of repudiated their Judaism. They didn't even want to be Jews. And, of course, a person can't help what they are born. But at the same time, obviously, we have to have a society and a culture for white people and white people alone. So, the black race has given us nothing but crime, violence, decadence, stupidity, AIDS, other diseases, graffiti in the streets, more drug use, a high prison population, and some basketball. And I mention that tongue in cheek because it's amazing. I remember when I was in high school, I had a fellow, of course it was 12 years ago, but I remember just like it was yesterday, he said, "Well, I would agree with you, but who's going to play basketball if we send all the niggers back?" Well, I'm not very concerned about who's going to run up and down a basketball court. I'm sure there are plenty of white people that can run up and down a basketball court, and I don't care if they can do it quite as swiftly or if they can hang from the rim like a monkey like the blacks do. I don't really care. What I care about is having a stable, healthy, happy society, and we don't have it. If this were such a great society, why do we have such a suicide rate amongst our young people? If this was such a great society, why do we have a kid flying a plane into a building in Florida? We didn't used to have that. We didn't used to have kids throwing themselves in front of trains. We didn't used to have kids committing armed robberies at the age of 12. We didn't used to have mothers drowning their 5 children, as happened in Texas. Something is wrong. Something is seriously wrong. All this diversity and multiculturalism and just, you know, love the almighty dollar and break bread with your nigger neighbor, it obviously has failed. It has failed dramatically. One of the problems, in fact, we have is what we call Judaism. In fact, I guess that's the best way to pronounce it. It's hard to pronounce. It's a word that was just brought to my attention. In fact, I'm going to read you something here. Let's just call it Judaism. Yeah, that's the best way to put it. It's hard to pronounce this. Judeolatry. Make no mistake, the events of September 11th were a direct result of U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East in favor of Israel, period. That policy, in turn, stems from just one thing, Judaism. What is Judaism? The word derives from the prefix Judeo, which refers to Jews or things Jewish, and latria, meaning worship. Thus, Judaism is simply the worship of Jews and things Jewish, Jew worship. Such blasphemous worship begins in the churches where whites are brainwashed from little on into thinking that God is some kind of big Jew up in the sky to whom they must bow, that the Jews are a chosen people, and that salvation is of the Jews. Out of such falsehood, all evil flows. With their spiritual life infected by the deadly virus of Jew worship, whites begin to identify with Jews and all things Jewish. From Hebrew fairy tales and the wonders of Zion. Stripped of a sound racial self-image, they come to fear looking askance at any Jew, lest they be zapped by that big Jew up in the sky. With such appalling superstition firmly implanted in their brains, they are prepared to countenance every conceivable Jewish outrage against non-Jews. Indeed, this disease goes so far as to cause them to assign special status to Jews, and to exempt them from those moral requirements which apply to other mere mortals. The results of this disease are to be seen in the wars, economic ruin, social instability, and moral decay of the past century and continuing up to the present day, all stemming from alien domination of the economic, social, cultural, and political life of America and the West. Nowhere, however, are the baneful effects of Judaism more apparent than in America's craven support for the parasitic and pipsqueak state of Israel. Such support could only derive from a culture in which Jews are idolized, exalted, and worshipped as the central figures of all creation. Many Judolaters actually believe that in such lovelies as Yitzhak Shamir, Menachem Begin, Benjamin Netanyahu, and Ariel Sharon, they are beholding the fulfillment of divine prophecy. Some even swoon at the prospect of a nuclear Armageddon on behalf of their ethnic pets. It is such worship of Jews and the culture it produces which accounts for the incredible spectacle of the United States not only condoning the Israeli slaughter of its own servicemen aboard the USS Liberty, but adamantly refusing to condemn state-sponsored terrorism by the Zionist entity in its ongoing pogrom against the Palestinian people. It is such Jew worship which accounts for the routine U.S. bombing of Iraq and the starvation of its people, which has already caused over 1 million deaths. It is such Jew worship which necessitates the stationing of American forces in the Middle East with the resulting alienation of the people of the region. It is such Jew worship, finally, which produced the seething anger and desperation which led to the tragic events of September 11th. America has sown the seeds of Jew worship, and as long as such Judolatry persists, it can only expect to reap more bitter fruit. This article was sent to me by one of our supporters, and I'm very happy to read it to you. Judolatry is a cancer. Judolatry is a sickness that is widespread. People idolizing the Jews. Do not idolize the Jews. There is nothing about the Jews to idolize. They are not the chosen people. They are not chosen by God. The God that people believe in does not exist. There is no Jewish spook in the sky that is out to bless the Jews and bless those who serve the Jews, as they claim in the Old Testament. This is a religion of bunk. This is a mindset, an ethnic cancer on this world. Now, within that article I just read, there was mention about Iraq. And I'm glad that there was mention in that article, because I wanted to talk a little bit about Iraq on this episode of In Klassen We Trust. There's a lot of talk these days about Iraq being the next target. There's a lot of talk in the media. In fact, the media oftentimes will prompt various officials from the State Department or Justice Department or various commentators, etc., various people with opinions, professors, ex-military personnel, etc., the media will prompt these individuals with the phrase, "What about Iraq? What about Iraq? Is Iraq next? Do you think Iraq will be next on the list?" etc., obviously hoping to condition the minds of you and I, of the masses of white people in this country, to accept and to want an attack upon Iraq. Well, obviously, as we well know, Iraq is a non-white country. They are Arabs, and Arabs are Semites, and many Arabs have black blood in their veins as well, and other blood that has traversed through their territories over thousands of years of time. Certainly, Genghis Khan went through some of that area. Certainly, his son or grandson did. Attila the Hun went through many of these areas, so they are a bastard race. There's no question about that. However, you should not go for this idea put out by the Jewish media and by these lackeys of the Jews that Iraq is an enemy of the United States or an enemy even of the white race at this juncture. Because the reality is that Iraq, a strong military in Iraq, is good to put a counterweight against the Jews of Israel. We should want Iraq to be strong. For example, Israel has 200 nuclear weapons. If Iraq wants to have a nuclear weapon, I say fine. They want to have several, that's fine too. Let us have a deterrent to the Jews of Israel. When the media attacks, in other words, when the media attacks someone incessantly, that's a person you probably should almost like. That's a person you should at least respect. And I can tell you this. Now, Saddam Hussein appears to be the only Arab leader in the Middle East who doesn't kiss the Jew ass, quite bluntly. Saddam Hussein, when the Israelis make a demand, or the Israelis say something, he says, hey, down with the Jews, down with Israel, no thanks. He doesn't get on his hands and knees and kiss whatever of the Jews and the vassal government of the Jews, the American government. And so for that, we can respect him. I myself opposed the Persian Gulf War. Once it began, of course, I did not march in the streets at that point. But before we actually sent troops over there, I was very adamant and very strong about the notion that Iraq and Kuwait, that's their business. Whatever they want to do, that's their business. I couldn't care less if Iraq invades Kuwait. And in fact, Kuwait used to be part of Iraq, and so that's all the more reason to stay out of that conflict. Instead, George H.W. Bush, George the Senior, George the First, as some people want to call him, sent our troops over there to protect Israel, essentially to destroy Iraq so that Israel was protected. It had nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. It had to do with Iraq having a strong military force that was capable of causing the Jews some problems. And so Bush waited for his opportunity. Iraq invaded Kuwait, and so Bush used it as an opportunity to eliminate the threat to Israel by virtue of declaring a war to liberate Kuwait. So at this point in time, of course, we want as many enemies of the Jews to exist as possible. The more enemies, the better. If there's an enemy of the Jews out there, then let them have some power. Let Saddam Hussein continue to rule Iraq. He is a credit to his race in many ways. He is a credit to his race. Saddam Hussein is not groveling to the United Nations. He doesn't kiss anyone's rear end. He is in power. He is very popular in his country. And we have no political qualm or complaint with a strong Iraq. An Iraq that can protect itself and provide a deterrent to Jewish expansionism, Jewish supremacy in the Middle East. And let's remember this as well. Iraq has oil. Israel has no oil. So obviously, simply objectively speaking, if we want to look out for the supposed interests of America, it would make more sense to deal with Iraq than Israel. But not only do we not look out for the interests of America, we are bankrolling Israel. We are sending $20 billion, as it stands right now, $20 billion in grants and military hardware, etc., to Israel. And yet we want to whine and complain about Iraq having weapons of mass destruction. The Israelis have 200 such weapons. Nobody seems to complain about that. They have those weapons in violation of international law and agreements. They have the power to nuke the entire Middle East. And yet nobody complains. Well, we complain. And a growing number of people are complaining. No one in the political realm, no one in the House of Representatives, so-called, and the Senate complain, but we complain. We who are the vanguard of revolution for the white people of America. We complain, and we complain loudly and often. And more white people are waking up and realizing that they are being told lies by the controlled press that is, once again, in the service of the Jews and no other. Well, we are out to erase that Jewish power. We are out to put an end to the Jewish domination of this world once and for all. We are the true freedom fighters. People want to talk about freedom. Yeah, let's have freedom. Let's have freedom for white people. Let's have freedom for white people to be free of the Jewish parasites. Let us also be free of the other non-whites, no matter what they may be, no matter where they may came from. We don't need their cheap labor. We don't need their so-called culture. We don't need their languages. We don't need anything from them. Let us have independence. Let us have a land for white people, a land of our own. The Orientals have their own countries. The blacks have their own countries. The Jews have their country. It's time for white people to have a country of their own. And so, as I begin to close this episode of In Class and We Trust, I am very happy that you listened to me this evening. Very happy to have your participation in this program. Feel free to send show ideas to me. You can email me at pmhale1@aol.com or write me at P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois 61611. I'm always looking for show ideas. I'd be most grateful. Also, be sure to read Nature's Eternal Religion, the greatest book in the history of the world. We have this book for $10 or $15 if you're overseas. Truly, read this book. $10, 500 pages. It will revolutionize your thinking and make you an ardent believer in the World Church of the Creator and the religion that we represent, creativity. Let us together win this racial holy war. Rahoa!